Man who has been out in nature and probably looked up in a few skies is our guest in studio here. That's Ben Carpenter. Ben, welcome to the show. Good to have you back with us.
Now it's lit up.
Now it's lit up. There you go.
Yeah.
Here we are with all this fancy equipment and talking with somebody who is just every day out in nature with as a farmer. You've for many years. How many years have you been farming now?
Since before I got out of high school.
Oh, wow. That's so it's a few years.
It's been quite a few.
Now, you have a farm, a family farm down in around Adrian, right?
South of Adrian, yes.
Right. And we've had you on before. It's been fun having you on because what the neat thing about it has been is that you have not only had this really practical hands-on, fingers-in-the-dirt kind of, but you are also very technically adept at what you're doing.
I try to be.
Yeah, and Your tractor is full of all sorts of stuff. What would we typically find inside the cab of your tractor?
Well, I got a computer screen. Not technically a computer, but it does computing work. Mm-hmm. But it monitors the operations that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's also GPS in there, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's critical.
That's right. It is critical.
Yep.
So how do you use, I'm curious, I've heard that before, how do you use GPS in farming?
Well, it pinpoints where you're at,
mm-hmm.
and then thing also records what you're doing.
Okay.
And records where you did it at.
Okay.
Okay.
So when you're sowing a crop, is that the idea? That
yes, you know when you're exactly? sowing, harvesting, spraying, a variety of things it can do.
Hmm. So I imagine that using the GPS, you can mark spots on your land. You know, this particular spot yielded higher yield this particular year than another spot, correct?
Actually, the way we do that is after we get the data, we transfer it into computer. And then when it's in the computer, you can look on a map and it shows where the higher yields was, where mm-hmm. the lower yields were. And then you can go figure out why it was higher or lower at a certain point.
Right, based upon the other data that you gathered, like yes. the fertilizer that you may have put on it or the amount of water you've been dropping on it.
Yes. Well, I don't do any irrigation, so all the water that's on it is Mother Nature puts on it.
Good deal.
The heavens open up. Ben, when did you get into this? I mean, you've been around for a long time.
Well, my son graduated from high school in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, 6 months or a year ago, probably a year ago, he said, Dad, when I was in high school, you was the only parent that had a computer.
Oh, my. And that would have been what at that time in 1987?
If he was in high school, he graduated in 87, so that would have been in 84, 85?
Yes. My first computer was a Radio Shack Model 3.
Yep. Okay. Whatever got you into computers? I mean, you're a farmer, okay? And I'm used to, I grew up in Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin, around farmers. I don't remember any of them being into that kind of technology.
Well, the reason I got into computers in the first place was through Farm Bureau, I was getting some market data, and I was renting their machine to get it over telephone at 300 baud. So you didn't do it all day long or every day, necessarily.
Right.
But after a certain time, I had to either buy the machine or buy a computer. So I bought a computer.
and still use the information that you were getting in.
Yes, but I have upgraded computers since then.
Oh, I would imagine you have. Got quite a few times.
Yes.
What are you using right now? Just to keep people up to date with what you
well,
got.
Well, depends on whether you're talking about my laptop, which I got here, or the desktop I got at home. The desktop is a Dell.
Okay.
But it's got a lot of horsepower.
I wasn't too far off, Ed, when I titled the program The Farmer and the Dell.
I bought that computer from Stratos on South Main Street in Adrian.
Uh-huh.
And they're a Dell dealer.
Okay. Okay.
Although, you know, that's really good to have a local computer store that you can go to. So how long have they been there in one form or another? 10 years?
I'm going to say between 10 and 20.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and that's what's really important, especially in more rural areas, is to have a place like that. Up by me, there's a couple computer stores up in Lapeer, you know, because there is a big box store, but most people tend to go to the smaller mom and pop shops.
I bought this laptop in a big box store in Toledo at Best Buy. Mm-hmm. But the battery that's in it, I got yesterday from Stratos.
Oh, you're talking about the HP laptop that you have in front of you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I got the battery that's in it yesterday at Stratos, mm-hmm. and I had ordered it about a week ago.
Now, Ben, I want you to explain something to me. You mentioned market information. How do you weave that together with what you're doing in terms of deciding what crops to plant?
Not so much what crops to plant, because I've got a program in my mind that, so forth, that I'm going to plant certain fields to wheat, mm-hmm. The other fields I rotate between corn and beans. Mm-hmm. And the fields that plant to wheat, it's a three-year program rotation. Okay. After wheat comes corn, and then after corn comes beans, and then back to wheat again.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So the important thing is throughout the year, though, you can check on the prices and how they're going. Yeah.
I check the prices every day.
Yes. And the futures, possibly, yeah.
Well, the place where I check the prices, I got the futures prices there, too.
Yeah.
So that determines what? Tell me about when you will sell your crop?
If he's going to Jamaica or not.
Well, here a while back, I've hauled quite a lot of stuff to Bushfield, Michigan, to MAC, Michigan Agriculture Commodities.
Okay.
But they also, around the corner from them, which has an RIGA address, is an ethanol plant.
Mm.
And stuff that I put in a grain bin to home, mostly I haul to the ethanol plant. But their moisture requirements at harvest time usually not fall in line with what I'm harvesting, so I take that to Bushfield.
I got you. But, so it determines where you take the crop, where you get the best deal on and what you have.
Yeah, but anyway, about a month and a half ago, someplace like that, considering there's an ethanol plant in Lipsick, Ohio, mm-hmm. and I considered hauling down there. But when I got to figuring the extra price, the extra trucking and everything, it didn't make sense to haul down there.
Yeah. I'm fascinated. You are, your daughter gave this away, by the way. You're going to be, 78, I think, a little later on this month?
Yes.
You have been out farming for a long time, well before the computer age, right?
Oh, yes.
And in that time, I know from my personal experience, at least, that a lot of the family farms, like the one you own, have been gobbled up by corporate farms. How have you kept your family farm intact in this kind of an atmosphere?
I just haven't sold it.
Okay. I love it. Well, okay, you haven't sold it. But why
say no?
There's many, many, many family farms in my area.
Oh, there are? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, folks, we're talking southern Michigan. This would be below Ann Arbor and
below
down
Adrian.
Towards... Below Adrian and down towards the Ohio border. Then.
Yeah. My south side of my farm is 6 miles from Ohio.
Okay.
Wow.
The way that you're equipped technology-wise with your farm, that sort of thing, is your equipment typical of what the small to medium farmer is doing nowadays, or are you ahead of the curve or behind it or whatever?
Well, that depends on what you call ahead or behind the curve. a lot of my equipment is, by some standards, would be considered antique.
You're a steampunker, too.
Yeah, I got some steam engines. They're really antique. But my farming equipment is most of it built in the 70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as far as the technology that you're using with that equipment, are you pretty typical of what most small farmers are nowadays?
Well, I'm ahead of them, a lot of them.
Okay.
How so, Ben?
A lot of them don't have the GPS stuff that I have.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so the technical stuff, the internet-based stuff, is something that a lot of they still haven't gotten into it yet, huh?
No, a lot of them haven't.
That is interesting.
Is it because of cost, or is it because the style of farming that they do, they just like doing it that way?
I think a combination of both. They've got accustomed to doing it a certain way.
Sure.
Hard for them to change.
Sure.
And the cost is not cheap.
Mm-hmm. Any way you look at it, it's not cheap in terms of farm equipment or anything.
Have you found, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this because it's kind of goofy, have you found that your research and what you do, and you compare it to what's in the farmer's almanac, how far off does that generally variate?
Well, I can't comment about the farmer's almanac because I don't read that.
Okay.
But I have in the past, I've read it.
Okay.
But I think that the technology like I'm using is ahead of what the farmer's almanac is.
Yeah. We're going to get back to that. Ben Carpenter is our guest. He is a gentleman farmer from down around Adrian. We're going to continue talking about his family farming and software for farmers as well. Back with that in just a moment as we continue on the Internet Advisor. got a kind of an interesting turn of events here, guys. We've been talking about the heavens with Brother Guy Consolmagno.
And then the earth.
And now we're talking about the earth. Yeah, and both with people who are very much in touch with both. Yes. Both the heavens and Ben Carpenter here, who's our friend, is a longtime listener of ours. We had him in before, and we're talking about his farm just below Adrian, Michigan. And we've been talking about the way that you have combined technology with your farming. And do you find yourself, now, I think you asked something along those lines, Cal. Do you find yourself kind of unique in the sense of being one of the older farmers who's using as much technology as you use?
I would say probably I am.
Mm.
A lot of guys my age have retired,
mm-hmm.
which I haven't yet.
Right.
And I used to work at Tecumseh Products. And I seen too many guys retire and go home, sit down in a rocking chair, and 6 months to a year, they buried him.
Yeah. You decided not to wait around for that.
Sort of I've been out of that place 23 years the 1st of May.
Wow.
So and, I've learned. If I retire, go get a farm.
You got it.
Well, I've seen a lot of guys go out of there and have any sort of activity, yeah. whether it be a paper route, whether it be mowing lawns, whether it be playing golf, a right. variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they all lasted quite a lot longer than the guys that went home and sat down in a rocking chair.
Well, certainly farming would give you a sense of purpose, and that it certainly keeps you going as well. Now, I know that your daughter, Betty Jones Inc., is with us. Thank you very much for coming in. And Grandma's here as well. Does your family participate in the farm as well?
To a certain extent. Maybe not as much as I'd like to have them, but that's with the technology and stuff that I use, it's... And I'm into no-till a lot, which means that we don't do much of any tillage ahead of time. It's plant and harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe on the corn, we side dress corn during the summer, maybe spray a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all done with technology, and consequently, can't just everybody jump in and run it.
Mm.
So your lovely daughter generally takes care of all the backroom activities, the spreadsheets, keeping the money counted, that sort of thing for you, eh?
Well,
love counting money.
She's got a job of her own.
Okay.
She works in a hospital in an administration part of it.
Mm. I understand, by the way, that your family also raises some livestock. I think we were talking in the break about...
My nephew raises... cattle, and my son-in-law and daughter raises
mm-hmm.
sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Do they use any sort of technology to tag the animals so they can't get away or they can locate them or that sort of thing, or they just pretty much put them out in the field and say, eat the grass, we'll be back to get the wool later?
I don't know. I don't get involved with the livestock part of it.
They don't get involved in my planning. I don't get involved with their sheep.
Don't mess with my sheep.
It's a bad thing. Now, I remember Ben calling the show, and he's been on a few times, and we were talking in the early days. You had wireless technology probably way before most people did, and then that's when Linksys first came out. And I remember, I think you had a question about how far can you actually reach with wireless, because I think you wanted to get out to the barn or something like that, and or on the combine. I couldn't remember.
Well, not so much in the machinery, but I would like to get to the barn. And I have gone outside with a laptop, and some places I get longer distance than I do others. Depends on which side the house and whereabouts the router is in the house that's putting out the wireless signal.
Yeah. I mean, wireless networking has come a long way since the early days. Before, we had the, 2.4, I think it was wireless B, and then came wireless G. Now they have wireless networking, which is, has three antennas.
The MIMO,
The MIMO, multi-in, multi-out. And that's a fascinating technology in which... that it takes all these different signals, and as they bounce off trees and buildings and the neighbors across the street, it reassembles all the wireless signals to build a one consolidated packet based on all the different signals that are coming in and all the different antennas. So you can actually extend your range quite a ways, a half mile, with the standard wireless router that we all have in our houses now.
I imagine he could probably get even better mileage if he took it out, ran a piece of Ethernet out to like one of those poles out in the lawn and sit that sucker right up on top of the pole.
And I teased him about that at the time. I said, just run that along the fence line of your barbed wire and you'd be fine.
Well, in the first place, who's got fences?
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But I'm on a place called Ag Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's guys on there that's talking about sending that wireless signal up to 10 miles.
Oh, yeah. I can believe it. If you put it on top of a hill, line of sight.
Well, they're going from to another building site or mm-hmm. the parent's house or whatever. And some of them are going up to 10 miles with it.
Incredible.
What is it? Is this WiMAX?
I don't know what they're using exactly. Mm-hmm. I haven't inquired it. It's just been commented on that they're what they're doing.
Yeah, I find fascinating is somebody who is involved in as ancient a profession as farming as you are really is on the cutting edge of technology in some ways, particularly, for instance, this wireless business that you're talking about.
And I think I have a silly answer for that. I mean, farming is it's really not a year-round thing here in Michigan, right?
Right. No. It's not for me, anyhow.
Yeah, I bet. And there's quite a bit of time in the wintertime where you find yourselves, you have to pour your passion into something else. And why not? Some people do it with, things they shouldn't be doing, and other people pour it into technology.
I love it.
Right?
We've done some traveling in the winter, too.
And some traveling. Yeah. And then you bring your technology with you with notebooks you have now.
Yes.
Well, this is really cool. I'm sitting here looking at Ag Talk right now. And the subjects out there are just, it's just like looking at any other internet site talking about technology on their computer forum. It's just anything from Wi-Fi to my shop to how to fix pop-up screens to I'm having problems with a browser to I want to put an IP camera from the barn to the house.
Yes.
So you can sit there and watch Elsie go moo.
Watch the deer in your fields.
Yeah.
Find out where they're at in hunting season.
So, yeah, it's very big in the agricultural community, as we can see. And because we're city kids and we don't really get out and see what's going on, our conceptions of what the farm is all about is whatever we see on
TV. Ben, speaking of city kids, it was a while back that I talked to you about some of my young men from Ann Arbor who had developed some software to help with that.
I have looked at their site. I've got my fields all listed on their site, but I'm not 100% in line with them.
How so?
Everything there is put in the cloud.
Right.
I'm not happy with putting stuff in the cloud, plus the fact that most stuff has to be uploaded by hand.
Hmm.
With the equipment that I've got.
Mm-hmm.
I can pull a thumb drive out of the monitor, take it in the house and plug in the computer, and in a few seconds I've got it all uploaded to my computer.
So he's ahead of them, basically,
What is the name of that product? I forget the farm program that these young men are doing.
Farm Logs.
Farm Logs, that's right. It's a company that was begun out of Ann Arbor, and about a year ago we approached them, but they were busy talking to farmers like yourself, trying to get people involved in the Farm Logs.
Yeah. For some people, I would say it's a fine product.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For me, I don't think so.
I got you.
And that's the same way with most any product you want to mention.
Right.
It's good for some people, not for others.
You know, it's a dilemma. Ed, you've talked about it before, the dilemma of having, and I think you too, Cal, of when we're talking about backing up. Gary likes to talk about putting everything in the cloud.
Like, yes.
Just put it in the cloud. But that's out of your reach. And when you've got it in your hot little hand, as in a thumb drive.
Right.
Or in a hard drive that you've got. As well, perhaps, as in the cloud, you're a lot safer, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't want to let go of that data. And to them, they're still thinking of, this is my data. Why would I want to put it? The cloud, I mean, most people just don't know about the security that's, embedded within cloud-based
storage. A lot of times
storage.
It's the issue of control.
It's control. Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
I just saw Google, for instance, canceled. There was a hub that they had for Internet of Things. They just canceled it suddenly. And so all of the stuff that's hooked up to that is gone. And when you put it in the cloud, you're in some ways beholden to somebody else. Ben, we are at the end of our time here, and it's just been a whole lot of fun talking with you. Thank you again. We caught you before the planting.
Yeah.
It's been good having you. And Grandma, thank you for coming along, for bringing Ben in. And thank you very much to your daughter, Betty Jo, for driving you in here as well. Ben Carpenter, our friend, and you probably find him as a commenter very often on the notes on the end of our program notes. Take care of yourself, Ben. Been good to have you with us.
Okay.